This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we are. We are at your service. I'm Johnny Rabbit. Now, if we could dial into the past on the radio you're listening to right now, you could listen to shows such as The Lux Radio Theater, The Shadow, Ma Perkins, The Lone Ranger, Suspense, Fibber McGee and Molly, Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Dragnet, Mr. District Attorney, The Great Gildersleeve, X-1s, Let's Pretend, Grand Central Station, Gunsmoke, Hilltop House, and hundreds more, but they would all sound better on an old AM radio such as an Emerson, Bendix, Stromberg, Carlson. But where have all those radios gone? We're going to find out right now on KMOX with yours truly, Johnny Rabbit, at your service, because here we have a blast in the past. Here are our radiologists, Dr. Roger Cole. Hello, Roger.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for having us today.
Of course. Get a little closer to that microphone, if you will. Is that a bee hanging around your head? I swear I saw a bee going into your hair. Is that true?
I do keep some bees. Some friends and I have a lot of fun with that as another hobby besides the radios, but they're not doing much. They're put away for the winter.
What do you mean, put away?
Oh, they sort of form a cluster around their queens and stay put and eat their honey, and then we'll see them come back in the spring.
I mean, how many come back? I mean, are there dozens, hundreds, thousands?
Oh, thousands. A good-sized colony will have 10 or 20,000 bees in it.
My goodness.
So hopefully it's a little bit early to see them yet. They're still going to be in their hives, but we should see them out and flying here with the warm weather in another month or two.
Any shortage of bees? I always hear they're endangered.
It's getting harder. There's been some parasites that have made it a little more difficult on them, but we're starting to get a handle on it. The bees are starting to learn to live with some of the diseases and parasites. So I think the future looks good, and I think there's a lot of very dedicated beekeepers making sure that's the case.
Now, two very interesting hobbies. Dr. Roger Cole just told us his. Joe Towser is here, and Joe is among the local leading collectors as well as Roger of old, and I do mean old, vintage radios. What is a vintage radio? Or an old radio? What would you call old?
Well, old is anything that... thanks for having us on, Johnny.
Of course.
Old can be as new as the 60s. It's basically a radio that was mostly made of discrete components, typically manufactured in this country. Most of the stuff that I collect is pre-World War II. World War II is a significant marker in electronic history, obviously, because all commercial manufacturing stopped when we entered the war. But If you look at how the radios work, if you go pre-World War II, they were all tubes. The transistor didn't come along until the 50s. So an old radio is, by definition, a tube amplifier. They were usually made to be much more sensitive and selective to the AM band before World War II, because that's all we had.
Right.
And there was no internet. There was shortwave bands. And that's how you got news from across the ocean, was you would tune into countries over in Europe, you know. So an old radio is basically anything that's, you know, say 40 years older, it's really not that, there's no fine line for it.
Well, we've signed on, KMOX, I wasn't here at the time, on December 24th, 1925. There were a few radios around at that point. Roger, what is your oldest radio that you have in your collection?
The oldest radio, I've got a few that date from the mid-1920s.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, I think, the point where you started to see it expand rapidly enough that people were likely to have it. And, you know, those can be really fun. And we think now of a radio, you turn it on and you push a button and away it goes. Back then, there were lots of dials and knobs to play with and fiddle with and adjust. It was a little more of an adventure every time you turned it on.
I guess.
But it was so revolutionary. This was the first time people could easily communicate over long distances. They could hear news and sporting events and, you know, so much great radio theater, which we don't see as much these days.
But no, there's not much of it.
Yeah, I think it's sad to see that loss, but it really was a wonderful time. And on the commercial side, people learned how to use it economically, how to do advertising and how to promote the local economy. It was a real game changer in the first part of the 20th century.
A lot of newspapers were frightened of radio. I mean, radio is frightened of a lot of things today, but newspapers of radio is going to drive us out of business. So a lot of newspapers started radio stations. Post-Dispatch, for example.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I think they saw that this was going to become a big advertising medium, and they needed to get out in front of it. You know, plus, if you know, they could either let someone else own the radio station or they could incorporate it into their business. And it makes a lot of sense when they control not just the news feeds, but the advertising feeds.
Yeah, and then, of course, they got into television, and we talked about, well, FM, that was 46, 47, right in that era that came around. Joe, you have a club. What is your St. Louis Radio Club? What's it called?
Yes, there is a group of us crazy people that
collect
all things.
How many are in this group?
Probably about 70 people.
Ooh, I was going to say 75.
We have about 30 people show up. Every month we meet on the second Tuesday of every month at the Kirkwood Community Center at 7:30, plug. And we have about 30 people show up, and it's just a bunch of guys that we have our old radios, and we bring them out, and we show them to each other, and we ask questions, and just have a good old time.
But you trade radios or parts?
We trade, sell, buy. It's whatever. I mean, people ask me, where do you get your old radios, Joe? And it's always the best place to get an old radio is either from another collector, in which case you may or may not pay what it's worth. But the best place is to find them at estate sales where people are cleaning out grandpa's basement.
That's true.
And there's stuff there. And, you know, a lot of times you'll find a really, really nice vintage radio for not a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of the club?
The Antique Radio Collectors and Historians of Greater St. Louis. We collect radios and we study radio history because it's all just fascinating. You can visit us online at archradioclub.org, all one word. And, Johnny, you mentioned, you know, when KMOX, this is kind of, you know, one of the things that falls into our genre. You mentioned KMOX signed on Christmas Eve 1925.
Mm-hmm. 98 years ago this year.
You know that's where the call letters came from. K, Missouri, Christmas.
So they say.
It's true. Ask Frank Absher.
Well, it sounded like, I'll repeat, so they say. That's not necessarily true. It was a sign for the government.
And I like to believe Christmas.
And some people always thought it was Kirkwood, Missouri, because the transmitter was in Kirkwood.
Well,
initially, not the studios. Well, initially there was a studio there at the transmitter site, but it was actually an assignment from the federal government. They were assigning. You couldn't necessarily just say what you wanted for any reason, and they didn't know for sure that they were going to be gone Christmas Eve. That wasn't in the original plan. That happened to be the case. Now, the art, what is it, Arch Radio?
ArchRadioClub.org, all club. One word.
Okay, .org. Now, you said Greater St. Louis, what does it mean? Does it mean Illinois, too?
Yes. Yes, we're an encompassing group. We have members from both sides of the river.
Good.
We're not picky.
Now, is there a club also in Illinois? Belleville used to have a club.
Once upon a time, there was, and they're not around anymore.
Uh-huh. So, Joe Towser and Roger Kohler here. Now, Joe, when did you start your radio collection? I mean, everybody probably had an interest in radios from being a little kid, but when did you really start the collection?
I started mine when I still lived in South St. Louis. I bought an old Zenith console at an estate sale, and I was just kind of hooked. But I'm an electrical engineer by trade, and I find the history of the development of the radio circuits to be absolutely fascinating.
Sure.
And I just, you know, I saw this super cool old radio and said, you know, I think I can fix that.
Ah, that's the key, fixing it, because they all need work.
Yes, they do. And they can pretty much all be repaired. Mm-hmm. People talk about where do you get the tubes?
Right. Where do you get the tubes?
You buy them online. There's so many millions of tubes made, you know, before World War II. When the distributors went to a different business, the regular commercial electronics distributors that we know, they don't sell tubes online anymore, but there are people that bought their inventories, so there are other people that do sell tubes. So they're pretty straightforward and easy to get.
Now, that first radio, do you still have it?
It sits in my office. I have a picture on my phone, which I would hold up to the microphone, but
yeah,
this is radio.
Be tough. This is radio, yeah, it'd be hard to see that. How many radios do you have in your collection, about?
Oh, geez. At least 100.
That's a lot. Where do you keep all these? Do you know that some of these?
In my warehouse at work.
Oh, you're lucky.
I am lucky.
A lot of people don't have a place for them. Roger, where do you keep all your radios?
Oh, here and there. When I was in private practice, I had them all over the office, all over the house. You know, I still have, you know, some of the very first ones. A few years back, my wife's grandmother was moving, and we were cleaning out her house, and we came across the radio that had belonged to her grandparents. It was a 1937 Philco, and it was gorgeous. And I was wondering if it's fixable, and I ended up meeting Joe Towser in the process. And, you know, Joe spent some time with me, walked me through the circuit diagram, and you realize, you know, not only are they beautiful, but you can work on these. These are repairable. They were never intended to be a throwaway item.
That's true.
You know, and that's a big change from the way we see electronics these days. And I was just stunned once I got it working, the beauty and the sound of a tube amplifier. Even right now in the audiophile world, the tube amplifiers are really, they never left in the real high-end audio, but a lot of people are realizing with the return to the analog audio just how wonderful and the tone you get from it.
It is. What a difference it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you know, it's like people relate albums, record albums to CDs. And everybody will say a CD doesn't sound as good as a record album.
Oh, not in the analog world. It's a different sound.
Yeah.
I can remember when I got it working, I turned on the Cardinals. I don't have to tell you which station we were listening
right,
to.
Right, right.
And even my wife, who was rather skeptical initially, was really impressed by the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still vividly remember watching the Cardinals on television win the World Series, but we had the sound being played through her grandparents' old radio.
I'll be darned. Well, that would sound
good.
That
was a fun experience. I still really enjoy that memory.
Now, what a memory it would be. Now, you mentioned different countries' radio. Most of the ones you guys have in your collection, or maybe all, are from the United States, or do you collect from other countries at all?
Everything I have was made here in this country, and it's primarily because the tubes and everything are available. There were radios made, you know, in England, France, Germany. That's more of a dedication because those parts are you just have a much harder time getting them.
Yeah, of
over
course.
Here.
Yeah.
Whereas the American stuff is once I said readily available. But there are guys in the club that do have radios from over there.
Now, some of our listeners may have radios and they'd like to trade or sell or to start a collection of their own. We'll talk about the value of some radios when we come back in just a couple of minutes and some of the brands that you may have. You never know. And we'll talk more about radios for the next 15 minutes or so. And then Joe Holloman will be here from the Post-Dispatch. And we're going to talk a little bit about the newspaper industry, the future of newspapers, and also artificial intelligence. All this at your service with Johnny Rabbit on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates,
from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Before pounding rhythms, soaring guitar licks, and stacks of amplifiers, popular music had a lighter, easier sound.
Everything was very mellow and very soft at that time. You know, songs like You Belong to Me, Joe Stafford.
See the pyramids along the Nile.
Recording insider and longtime St. Louis radio personality Johnny Rabbit remembers when rock and roll broke through.
If you were 15 years old, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to music because you didn't want to continue to hear your parents' music.
I found my thrill.
It gave a new
this
sound.
This is Johnny Rabbit. Yep, we're listening to the past on Route 66. Well, from those years and years ago. You're ready, Joe and the gang. Thank you. Those are the 50s. We were listening mostly to the 50s. As you said, 50s radios are collectible. Joe, what would be a good 50s radio?
The king of the 50s radios is a Regency TR-1.
Wow, never heard of it.
It's a tiny, tiny transistor radio, and it was the first transistor radio because back then, and those things are ridiculously valuable. If you can get your hands on, if you're trying to get one of those, you're looking at over $1,000 for something that sold for $50, which was a lot of money in the 50s, but it was a transistor, okay? And it fit in your pocket, and it ran on a battery, and it was like, oh, my God, this thing fits in my pocket. And it was something because, you know, now you were not tethered to the wall, or you didn't have batteries that were the size of your car battery to run your radio. You could actually carry that thing around. But then there's other 50s radios that were that are valuable, that were multiband. Zenith made the first one called a Transoceanic, which had like six bands on it.
And right, big Zenith.
Well, there you go.
That's a big book filled with, not with everything, but with
you got a picture of the original Transoceanic on there.
Right
and
there.
That was...
Now, what did that mean, Transoceanic? Was that shortwave?
That was shortwave as well as AM broadcast. Mm-hmm. That radio came to be because the president of Zenith, and this was right before World War II, this was one of these things that got, you know, shot down by the war.
Right.
He wanted a radio that he could, he lives in Chicago, which is where Zenith was, and he had a yacht because, you know, he was rich.
Sure.
And he wanted a radio that while he was cruising around on Lake Michigan, he could pick up the world, pick up these countries over in Europe, because that's where you got your news of Europe on, you know, the upcoming, you know, political unrest that became World War II. And he wanted a radio that was super sensitive and was easy to tune, which is why they took the shortwave band and broke it into six pieces as opposed to one knob, which is what most of the radios had at the time. They had a shortwave band that was quite wide from a bandwidth standpoint, but it was hard to tune. So Commander McDonald said to his engineers, I want a radio that isn't hard to use. So they came out with this, and it came out, I think, November 1940. Hmm. So it was just hitting the hitting the market, and then March 1942 is when they shut down production and made military. It was all military production before that. But those radios are valuable. The first one, you'll give $400 or $500 for that, and then if you get a TO, a transoceanic from the post-war or into the 50s. Those can go from $50 to $200. And then there's a lot of copycat radios that were made by RCA, Hallicrafters, Sears, Silvertone.
Sure.
Those also $100 to $200 price range. But they all really work well. In fact, I know Dr. Roger has a TO in his office, and he listens to it at work.
Oh, good.
It works great.
Oh, yeah. They're a surprisingly good performers. In fact, I think if you can find a vintage TO from the 1950s, it'll actually outperform most AM radios made today, just because AM today, they tend to focus more on the FM. But back in those days, that AM really was what their focus was.
Oh, of course.
They were designed
That's what they had.
First and foremost to do a really good job with AM broadcast. And in those days, there were a lot of shortwave broadcasts from overseas, and they were also designed to pick up all of the overseas broadcasts. Mm-hmm. They're really a lot of fun. It was a great one to listen to a ball game on.
It's quite different today. Radios today are not the same. Thinking of, I have so many complaints. I can't hear this station or that station or the out-of-town stations anymore. That's all changed. If you had an AM, large AM radio in a building, like in a building we're in, the Park Pacific building or in modern building, where would you put it? Would you put it, have to be near a radio? I mean, the radio near a window, with an antenna, or just sitting anywhere?
Well, it depends on the radio, and it depends on the building. Something we run into a lot with modern building is if they use metal studs, especially in commercial buildings.
That's true.
Which acts like something of a Faraday cage and really does hurt your reception. In my old office, I had a beautiful picture window, and I had my radios near there, and I had no trouble at all. But I also remembered that you didn't have to go very far towards the center of the building, and there wasn't much signal left.
What about FM radios? Roger, Joe, do you have FMs in your collection, or do you stick with AM?
No, I have a couple of FM radios from the 40s. And, Johnny, you were talking about when FM came to be. FM was introduced 1939, but nobody had an FM radio.
Yeah, right.
So it came to be right after the war. And I have some FM radios that had the early FM band from 42 to 50 megahertz. And they also have the modern FM band from 88 to 108 megahertz, because at the time they didn't know which one was going to win. There were two. RCA had the high one. Armstrong had the low one. Zenith was making radios with both bands because, once again, they didn't know who was going to win. So I've got some from 1947, 1948 that have both bands, and there's nothing on the low band anymore. The high band won, because the RCA had more money.
But sure.
But yeah, I do have some FM radios that are of historical significance.
Interesting. Now, I showed you a radio that I have, Truska, that was for a year and a half, it was on display at the St. Louis Sound Exhibition at the Missouri History Museum. And Andrew Wanko, when he saw it, said, oh, we want this in the collection. And it's not much of a radio to look at. It's not very big, but you said it's collectible.
That radio you showed me the picture of is significant because the gentleman who built that radio, his company, he built that, I'm guessing, around 1920, which is really when radio was just transitioning from fully experimental to the first commercial broadcasts. And you showed me the tag on there where it's actually built under an experimental license.
Yes,
When that was first made, when that license was issued, you could not build that did not grant the manufacturer rights to build radios to sell to the public.
Okay, that's really interesting.
So later that became the FCC, or I don't remember the name of what they were before they were the FCC, but they decided, okay, so if you got the Armstrong experimental license, you can build radios for the public. And they kind of transitioned it. And I think that's how your radio came to be, the permission was granted.
Yeah.
Now, his company was later bought by Atwater Kent. So if anybody looks at any old radios, they'll come across that name because they were like Cadillac radios in the 20s. And that's what eventually torpedoed the company was when the Depression came along. They did not transition to little cheap radios like several other companies did. Atwater stayed by their high-end products, and they went bankrupt. But, yeah, that's that radio you've got is it's got some value because
I'm glad to hear it.
It's really unique. I've not seen that brand before, but I did some digging.
You've got a lot of information. Roger, what about old radio programs? And Joe, too, do you guys collect old radio programs as well, and electrical transcriptions or albums or just old programs in some other formats?
Personally, I really don't, but there are some people in the club that are into that.
Mm-hmm.
There are still people that are very interested, and the programs are, in the modern age, available on the internet in a lot of cases. It's certainly not hard to obtain.
There's a couple of apps that you can download, which I have on my phone. That have, they are old radio shows. And I'm not quite sure how they got into the public domain, but you can totally listen to old radio. Or you can get on what I used to listen to all the time on Sirius is the old radio channel. Greg Bell did that. And that was very entertaining because he took care of mixing the program. So it was 24/7 episodes of old radio shows. And it was fascinating. You could just put it on and let it play and play it through your old radio, and away you go.
Well, I listen to a lot of old radio programs on Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have to do, last night, I said, Alexa, ask, I have the key words are ask Radio Fun Time to find. And what I was listening to was Mr. District Attorney.
Nice.
And yesterday afternoon, I was listening to Inner Sanctum Mysteries.
And those are very cool.
They're not all there, but I found about 20 programs that you can find that way. But it's fun to do, and it's fun to talk about it, but guess what? We're out of time. It's done. Joe Holloman is in the wings right now. He's probably outside from the front selling copies of the Post-Dispatch. Who's to say? Roger Cole, Joe Towser, thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you for what you do as well. Well, one final question. Are younger people getting involved in this at all? Do you see any?
Yes, they are.
Ah,
great.
We're on the internet, so if you Google Antique Radio in St. Louis, our club will pop up, and it's very, very cool to see younger people that look at the technology, and they appreciate it, and they want to be part of it.
Great to hear. Thank you both very much. Oh, and I've got a gift for you two guys. So here, that's for you. Two free tickets to go to see the Shaw's Garden, Missouri Botanical Garden, or the Butterfly House, or the Nature Reserve. Will you find any bees there to add to your...
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I know they've got a couple beehives there at Shaw's Garden.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure helps the plants enormously.
Well, enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Joe Holloman will be on with us next talking about newspapers. We're right here at your service, Johnny Rabbit at KMOX. Here comes Joe Holloman for the Post-Dispatch. Hello, Joe. Good afternoon. How you guys doing over there? Oh, where is Joe? Well, we're searching for Joe right now. Joe may be here. He may not be here. I know he was here. Our engineer, producer, board operator, expert at this kind of stuff, searching for Joe Holloman right now. We'll see if we can find him. I wonder if the dog, maybe he's at the dog parade.
Here.
Oh, you're not at the dog parade. You're there.
I'm here. I even called in early. So.
Oh, good for you. Thank you.
I am not at the dog parade.
Oh, it's probably over anyway. It started at 1. I'm sure there's activity in Soulard, though, with all the Mardi Gras activity going on and stuff. But what about your new column? How do you like it? How's the reaction to it?
Well, so far I like it, and the reaction has been good as folks who do follow that sort of thing. For about 10 years, I wrote a column called Joe St. Louis, which was sort of a society, just sort of what happens, miscellaneous, a potpourri, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And now that has sort of changed into, now it's called Joe's Political Fix, which takes a look at almost exclusively what's going on in politics on any level that would affect St. Louis, but with a focus on what the U.S. delegation in Washington that represents the St. Louis area is up to. So Senators Schmidt and Hawley and U.S. Congress members Cori Bush, Ann Wagner, and another half a dozen or so. But basically, those are the people I'm looking at the closest to keep an eye on what's going on, since the Post-Dispatch, like many other newspapers over the years, doesn't have a Washington bureau, as so many of them did, but in cost-cutting measures over the last decade or so in the newspaper industry, many of those Washington bureaus for papers have shut down, ours being one of them. So trying to keep an eye on Washington, D.C. from St. Louis.
Interesting. So, well, you're filling a need. I had no idea all of those bureaus had shut down, but the same things happen with network radio and so on. What's your background, Joe? You're from St. Louis?
Born and raised South St. Louis Hoosier, and then moved to South County. Lived by Benton Park, and then a little bit in St. Louis Hills, and then moved to South St. Louis County. Went to St. Francis of Assisi Grade School and Vianney High School. Good old Catholic boy from the South Side, and then went to Homsall. So
good.
Kind of kept it here in St. Louis. It was a tough enough trying to figure out to justify paying college tuition, much less room and board. So I was not a good student.
I understand,
to say the very least. So, but learned a lot of good things and got into radio and journalism at Umsl, and worked in Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri for about 3-4 years. Came back to St. Louis, worked a little bit of time at the Suburban Journals.
Oh, yeah.
And then started with the Post-Dispatch over 33 years ago.
Oh, my God.
1989.
Joe.
So, yeah, yeah. I'm
wow.
I was a young child.
I guess.
Ron, when I started, I was, but no. But I've been at the Post for over 33 years now. So,
wow.
I went from being one of the new kids to one of the old timers. It seemed like in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know that would be true.
Well, you know that feeling.
It is an interesting feeling. Well, at least, I mean, you're there. I can't believe that. Now, 33 years is a long time. Is anybody there longer than you?
There's a few still. There's a few. Some sports writers. Jim Thomas, who covers the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Schlinkman, another political reporter.
Yeah.
Jane Henderson, who runs the book page, and a copy editor there. And, of course, Rick Hummel, who just retired at the end of last baseball season, had been there, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Dan Martin, a friend of ours, the guy who did the Weather Bird, who just retired about a week or so ago, an artist illustrator, but most famous for doing, they had a feature Postcards from Mound City that ran in the editorial page for a number of years, but famous as the guy who drew the weather birds for the last 30 or something years.
So he's still going to continue the bird, isn't he?
He's still doing he's still giving us the bird, as we like to say, and flipping us a bird every day. And but basically he is he's retired. So I'm becoming one of the, you know, the last of the Mohicans.
Sure.
Kind of, you know, so but, you know, no one else would hire me, so that's why I've been there so long. So you know, but you asked an interesting question. It's funny about doing politics.
Mm-hmm.
What I've received has been a good reaction to it. And I don't know if it's because the people who aren't into politics just quit reading my column and wrote me off of their ledger, and the other people who like the political stuff. But I've had a lot of nice comments about people saying, I mean, you know, it's a different, it's an interesting thing already. And I only started doing this in the new year, so 5 weeks maybe I've been at mm-hmm. this, and I've already had people accuse me of being a lefty and a conservative, so I figure I'm doing the right thing if I'm shooting somewhere down the middle, and I've got both sides complaining that I'm biased.
That is
the only problem you have to worry about as a political reporter is when one side loves what you're doing and the other side hates it always. Then you probably ought to reassess where you're at. So I try to shoot it fairly straight down the middle and to let people know what's going on. It's not an opinion column. It is just what's going on, and I try to write it in a little less stuffy way than most people are used to reading that sort of thing. And I try to bring a little humor to it, but it's basically the news quoting sources. It's not what I think of what Josh Hawley or Cori Bush just proposed, but just the fact that they proposed it. I'm a big believer that one of the problems that journalism faces is it's become so fractured. And because of the internet and social media, people are allowed to pick now the news they want to hear all the time. And what we're finding out is that what people do, if you're a conservative, you watch Fox and you read conservative websites. If you're a liberal, you watch MSNBC and you read liberal websites. And so the idea that there's a whole nother opinion out there is getting lost in our country. And it's like, here's my opinion, and I don't have to hear anything but my view. And that you can tailor your news, sort of, you know, pick one from column A, one from column B. So I'm going to get all my news from a source that leans my way. And so that when you're faced with a, well, here's another view, instead of it being another valid opinion that you disagree with, it just becomes wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the problems we're facing is that people have become, they don't want to hear things that don't necessarily agree with their worldview. And it used to be when you read a newspaper or you watched NBC News or CBS News at night, you got a straight down the middle, and some things you liked, some things you didn't like hearing.
Right.
Now you can tailor what you want to hear, and it makes us, I think, less receptive to opposing viewpoints.
Very interesting. Joe, do you do any teaching? Have you done that at all?
No, I do not. I was such an awful student that no one I think, one, it's like, you know, I break into a sweat when I walk into a classroom, but I've spoken to a lot of classes, but no one has entrusted me with young minds on with a carte blanche like that. So, you know, and I love talking to kids. I'm probably not, my personality is such, I probably would be an awful teacher because I just don't have the patience you know, and I remember, and I think, you know, an ungodly amount of patience in my mind to be a teacher. Because I remember what a bad student I was, and I don't mean that I was dumb. It was just I didn't want to be there.
Sure.
And I imagine I was just an awful student to have, and I was always the one who got good grades, but there was always the note of doesn't work up to his potential, and that was A, and B was constantly talking to others. So, you know, I would probably have a whole classroom full of me in there, and I would lose it. So. I'm not proud of my educational discipline. I did okay, but I could have been a lot better student, you know, and I tried to teach my kids sort of like, don't be like me when it comes to school, you know, go and learn. I just thought it was delaying me from reaching my greatness was how I looked at school at the time. So, you know, but I've never had the bug to teach. I think you have to. I think I'm like the perfect guest lecturer.
No, that makes sense.
You know?
Yeah, that does make sense. Sure.
And I've never had that desire. And I think the good teachers have a desire to teach people.
Yes.
And they enjoy watching people learn. And I don't think I have that in me. Not that I'm opposed to it. I just don't think I'm the kind of person that would best facilitate teaching anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just me. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, and I never say never, other than the fact I gave up my dream about 10 years ago of being the third baseman for the Cardinals.
Oh.
You know, but I figured 52 was too old to be a starting third baseman for the Cardinals, so I gave that one up begrudgingly. But, no, I mean, I make paragraphs for a living. For,
yep, that's right.
For the thing I've been blessed to get a job, to have a job for as long as I have, 33 years at the Post and 7 years or 8 years before that of being involved in the news, which is basically serves my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I when I go to talk to these classes, I tell them, I said that basically what makes a good reporter, and you can go to a journalism school and you can take all kinds of courses. I said, but if at heart, what you need to be is nosy, egotistical, and stubborn, which are not necessarily good qualities overall when you look at the scope of humanity.
Yeah,
but
right.
I mean, I was always the kid who wanted to know what was going on, always asking questions, much to the chagrin of my parents and teachers. I was stubborn in that I was not going to take no for an answer if I thought an answer was out there. And then egotistical to the point that when it came time to tell a story, I always think I'm the best person to tell it.
See, that's it. So, well, Joe, can you hold on? We've got a couple more things I'd like to ask you. You've got to get to your, you don't have to get to your Super Bowl party yet, do you?
I'm a Packers fan. They lost. I could care less about today's game. I'll watch it, but I could care less.
We'll be right back with Joe Holloman, and you're here at your service. This is Johnny Rabbit on KMOX. Here we are going with Joe Holloman right now. Joe, are you watching the sky for UFOs by any chance?
I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be watching?
Yeah, I think so. I've been watching here above Soldiers Memorial. We've got a telescope out, but blue sky, beautiful day, temperature 50, what is it, 50-something today? 54, I think. Of course, that is a big story. Is there any local connection to the unidentified flying objects?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here comes Joe Holloman for the Post-Dispatch. Hello, Joe. Good afternoon. How you guys doing over there? Oh, where is Joe? Well, we're searching for Joe right now. Joe may be here. He may not be here. I know he was here. Our engineer, producer, board operator, expert at this kind of stuff, searching for Joe Holloman right now. We'll see if we can find him. I wonder if the dog, maybe he's at the dog parade.
Here.
Oh, you're not at the dog parade. You're there.
Did you? Yeah, I'm here. I even called in early. So.
Oh, good for you. Thank you.
I am not at the dog parade.
Oh, it's probably over anyway. It started at 1. I'm sure there's activity in Soulard, though, with all the Mardi Gras activity going on and stuff. But what about your new column? How do you like it? How's the reaction to it?
Well, so far I like it, and the reaction has been good as folks who do follow that sort of thing. For about 10 years, I wrote a column called Joe St. Louis, which was sort of a society, just sort of what happens, miscellaneous, a potpourri, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now that has sort of changed into, now it's called Joe's Political Fix, mm-hmm. Which takes a look at almost exclusively what's going on in politics on any level that would affect St. Louis, but with a focus on what the U.S. delegation in Washington that represents the St. Louis area is up to. So Senators Schmidt and Hawley and U.S. Congress members, Cori Bush, Ann Wagner, and the ones, another half a dozen or so. But basically, those are the people I'm looking at the closest to keep an eye on what's going on, since the Post-Dispatch, like many other newspapers over the years, doesn't have a Washington bureau, as so many of them did. But in cost-cutting measures over the last decade or so in the newspaper industry, many of those Washington bureaus for papers have shut down, ours being one of them. So trying to keep an eye on Washington, D.C. from St. Louis.
Interesting. So, well, you're filling a need. I had no idea all of those bureaus had shut down. But the same things happened with network radio and so on. What's your background, Joe? You're from St. Louis?
Born and raised South St. Louis Hoosier, and then moved to South County. Lived by Benton Park, and then a little bit in St. Louis Hills, and then moved to South St. Louis County. Went to St. Francis of Assisi Grade School and Vianney High School. Good old Catholic boy from the South Side, and then went to Homsall. So
good.
Kind of kept it here in St. Louis. It was a tough enough trying to figure out to justify paying college tuition, much less room and board. So I was not a good student.
I understand,
to say the very least. So, but learned a lot of good things. Got into radio and journalism at Umsl, and worked in Southern Illinois, Southeast Missouri for about 3-4 years. Came back to St. Louis. Worked a little bit of time at the Suburban Journals.
Oh, yeah.
And then started with the Post-Dispatch over 33 years ago.
Oh, my God.
1989.
Joe.
So, I was a young child.
I guess.
Ron, when I started, I was, but no. But I've been at the Post for over 33 years now. So, I went from being one of the new kids to one of the old timers. It seemed like in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So.
I know that would be true.
Well, you know that feeling.
It is an interesting feeling. Well, at least, I mean, you're there. I can't believe that. Now, 33 years is a long time. Is anybody there longer than you?
There's a few still. There's a few. Some sports writers. Jim Thomas, who covers the Blues. Mm-hmm. Mark Schlinkman, another political reporter. Yeah. Jane Henderson, who runs the book page and a copy editor there. And, of course, Rick Hummel, who just retired at the end of last baseball season, had been there like forever. Mm-hmm. So, and Dan Martin, a friend of ours, the guy who did the Weather Bird, who just retired about a week or so ago, an artist illustrator, but most famous for doing, we had a feature postcards from Mound City that ran in the editorial page for a number of years, but famous as the guy who drew the Weather Birds for the last 30 or something years.
So he's still going to continue the bird, isn't he?
He's still doing he's still giving us the bird, as we like to say, and flipping us a bird every day. And but basically he is he's retired. So I'm becoming one of the last of the Mohicans.
Sure.
But no one else would hire me, so that's why I've been there so long. So you asked an interesting question. It's funny about doing politics. Mm-hmm. What I've received has been a good reaction to it. And I don't know if it's because the people who aren't into politics just quit reading my column and wrote me off of their ledger, and the other people who like the political stuff. I've had a lot of nice comments about people saying, I mean, you know, it's a different, it's an interesting thing already. And I only started doing this in the new year, so 5 weeks maybe I've been at mm-hmm. this, and I've already had people accuse me of being a lefty and a conservative, so I figure I'm doing the right thing if I'm shooting somewhere down the middle, and I've got both sides complaining that I'm biased.
That is
the only problem you have to worry about as a political reporter is when one side loves what you're doing and the other side hates it always. Then you probably ought to reassess where you're at. So I try to shoot it fairly straight down the middle and to let people know what's going on. It's not an opinion column. It is just what's going on, and I try to write it in a little less stuffy way than most people are used to reading that sort of thing. And I try to bring a little humor to it, but it's basically the news quoting sources. It's not what I think of what Josh Hawley or Cori Bush just proposed, but just the fact that they proposed it. I'm a big believer that one of the problems that journalism faces is it's become so fractured. And because of the internet and social media, people are allowed to pick now the news they want to hear all the time. And what we're finding out is that what people do, if you're a conservative, you watch Fox and you read conservative websites. If you're a liberal, you watch MSNBC and you read liberal websites. And so the idea that there's a whole nother opinion out there is getting lost in our country. And it's like, here's my opinion, and I don't have to hear anything but my view. And that you can tailor your news, sort of, you know, pick one from column A, one from column B. So I'm going to get all my news from a source that leans my way. And so that when you're faced with here's another view, instead of it being another valid opinion that you disagree with, it just becomes wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the problems we're facing is that people have become, they don't want to hear things that don't necessarily agree with their worldview. And it used to be when you read a newspaper or you watched NBC News or CBS News at night, you got a straight down the middle, and some things you liked, some things you didn't like hearing.
Right.
Now you can tailor what you want to hear. And it makes us, I think, less receptive to opposing viewpoints.
Very interesting. Joe, do you do any teaching? Have you done that at all?
No, I do not. I was such an awful student that no one... I think, one, it's like, you know, I break into a sweat when I walk into a classroom. But I've spoken to a lot of classes. But no one has entrusted me with young minds on with a carte blanche like that. So, you know, and I love talking to kids. I'm probably not... My personality is such, I probably would be an awful teacher because I just don't have the patience I think an ungodly amount of patience in my mind to be a teacher. Cause I remember what a bad student I was. And I don't mean that I was dumb. It was just, I didn't want to be there.
Sure.
And I imagine I was just an awful student to have. And I was always the one who got good grades, but there was always the note of doesn't work up to his potential.
Uh-huh.
And that was A, and B was constantly talking to others. So, and I would probably have a whole classroom full of me in there and I would lose it. So I'm not proud of my educational discipline. I did okay, but I could have been a lot better student, and I tried to teach my kids sort of like, don't be like me when it comes to school, go and learn. I just thought it was delaying me from reaching my greatness was how I looked at school at the time. So, I've never had the bug to teach. I think you mm-hmm. have to, I think I'm like the perfect guest lecturer.
No, that makes sense. That does make sense. Sure.
I I've never had that desire. And I think the good teachers have a desire to teach people.
Yes.
And they enjoy watching people learn. And I don't think I have that in me. Not that I'm opposed to it. I just don't think I'm the kind of person that would best facilitate teaching anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. And I never say never, other than the fact I gave up my dream about 10 years ago of being the third baseman for the Cardinals, I figured 52 was too old to be a starting third baseman for the Cardinals. So I gave that one up begrudgingly, but I make paragraphs for a living for the thing. I have been blessed to get a job, to have a job for as long as I have, 33 years at the Post and 7 years or 8 years before that of being involved in the news, which is basically serves my strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I when I go to talk to these classes, I tell them, I said that basically what makes a good reporter, and you can go to a journalism school and you can take all kinds of courses. I said, but if at heart, what you need to be is nosy, egotistical, and stubborn, which are not necessarily good qualities overall when you look at the scope of humanity.
Yeah,
but
right.
I was always the kid who wanted to know what was going on, always asking questions, much to the chagrin of my parents and teachers. I was stubborn in that I was not going to take no for an answer if I thought an answer was out there. And then egotistical to the point that when it came time to tell a story, I always think I'm the best person to tell it.
See, that's it. So, well, Joe, can you hold on? We've got a couple more things I'd like to ask you. You've got to get to your, you don't have to get to your Super Bowl party yet, do you?
I'm a Packers fan. They lost. I could care less about today's game. I'll watch it, but I could care less.
We'll be right back with Joe Holloman, and you're here at your service. This is Johnny Rabbit on KMOX. Here we are going with Joe Holloman right now. Joe, are you watching the sky for UFOs by any chance?
I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Should I be watching?
Yeah, I think so. I've been watching here above Soldiers Memorial. We've got a telescope out, but blue sky, beautiful day, temperature 50, what is it, 50-something today, 54, I think. Of course, that is a big story. Is there any local connection to the unidentified flying objects?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know of, and I am skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that it's an unidentified flying object. But as we all know, as the conspiracy theory folks have taught us, if there is a UFO, the government's going to hide it up and store it out in Roswell, New Mexico.
Right, of course.
So it's we're never going to know about it. So the fact that we're finding out about it even now makes me think that it is not indeed some alien, I'm a non-believer in that stuff, only for the fact that we've been hearing about it for 50, 60 years.
Yep.
And apparently these extraterrestrials are skilled enough to build a way to get to the Earth, but they can't find any place to land other than in the middle of nowhere. I mean, haven't they identified at least go to a mid-sized city where you can, meet some people or something?
Sure, heck?
So I am one of those non-believers in the phenomenon of UFOs.
Now, what about
I'm sure there will be an explanation.
The latest in AI, artificial intelligence, and ChatGPT and writing. This is new to me. And people say, well, they could write anything. They could write your column, I guess. Artificial intelligence. I don't know.
Which is why, first of all, then I am heartily opposed to it.
I should hope so.
Artificial intelligence as opposed to what, real intelligence?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think now we get enamored with concepts. I still don't think that at some point in time that they're going to find a way that's going to be able to completely remove the benefit of experience and nuance and human interaction as much as they would love to.
As
we seem to be moving away from people actually talking face to face to one another. That all of it's done, and so we're all going to be living in a pod, I guess. It's, it always reminds me of my dad when he said, thank God I don't have that much longer to live because I don't understand anything that's going on.
Feeling. Yeah.
He said that for 40 years. I get what he meant.
I do, too. The daily printed newspapers. A lot of people say, well, they're dropping like flies, so to speak. How many are there in the greater St. Louis area beside the Post-Dispatch as far as the daily newspaper?
Oh, daily newspapers, I believe we are it.
That's it.
I believe we are it. Now, there's still weekly publications, it's always going to be within 5 years. I remember 10 years ago, it would be 10 years, there won't be any printed newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding out is it's certainly going down. The future of the Post-Dispatch is on stltoday.com. There's no arguing that the printed paper is dying. But the thing is that people still basically about over the age of 45 to 50 who were brought up looking at a newspaper, whether it was the comics, the sports section, there's a certain security blanket affection that people have for having that paper in their hand.
Yes.
And we're finding that that's not going away. What's happening is the people under 45 are finding that transition of, oh, yeah, I read it. I just read it online, like my kids in their 30s. Oh, yeah, I saw it online. So I would guess that in 20 to 25 years from now, there'll be far less printed papers. And what a lot of cities are doing is there's no longer 7 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
They print Monday through Friday, and then there's just a weekend edition.
Well, Joe, thank you for all of this insight today. We really appreciate it and hope you'll come back again sometime.
All right, Ron. Have a great day.
And thank
I
you.
Hope whatever team you want to win, wins.
All right, Joe. Joe Holloman on KMOX. Thank you, Joe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.